What if AI could be a profit center for your business? No, I'm not talking about some infomercial type sleazy product. No, I mean, what if your business could be AI-ified? I personally think that every service-centric business could do this, and 2024 is the year to start thinking about it. But how, you ask? Well, I don't know exactly. So I'm bringing my friend Jeff Hunter on the show today to discuss this very topic. Jeff is best known as the Savage Marketer, and he has become one of the top AI consultants for marketing and copywriting. He's the creator of the AI persona method, and he's consulted over 100 companies on how to integrate AI solutions to increase margins and reduce overhead for just about any type of business. So let's see what he has to say.
Welcome to the Buzzworthy Marketing Show.
Jeff Hunter, the one and only, welcome to the Buzzworthy Marketing Show.
I'm so happy to be here, Michael. It's gonna be a doozy.
Now, wait a second. This is Jeff. This is not an AI rendering of Jeff, right?
We're gonna find out.
Oh my gosh! Here we go. Well, I'm gonna ask anymore. Really hard questions.
Yeah. Even my wife got upset with me this morning because I wrote her a text message and she said, "I don't even think you wrote this. I think AI wrote this."
Isn't it crazy? We've dedicated this entire season 7. We just passed 102 or 100. Yeah, we're on this one. I don't know. Will be like 107 or 110 episodes. Wow. We just passed 100 episodes, and so far we've been talking about how to choose AI, how to use AI for the business. And you and I were chatting at the Content Hackers Live a couple months ago, and you were talking about like, every business should find a way to use AI to generate revenue and get people to pay them regardless of what they're doing.
Yeah.
To use AI. And it's like, I'm like, yes, let's talk about that. So let's talk about how like kind of your really short journey from like your badassness before AI and then how you've just completely turned your stuff around using AI. Cause you're like, you're Mr. AI.
It's funny. I don't even know if I would say I'm Mr. AI. I would just say that I'm like Mr. Leverage, man. You know,
I love it.
I actually garnered this nickname over the years, the King of Outsourcing. And it's really because, you know, in my past life, I was a Fortune 500 project manager for, you know, it's basically doing IT project management. And uh-huh. I've been in IT pretty much my entire life since I was a little young kid at 12 years old. And my grandpa used to drop me off at the computer store down the block. They don't even have computer stores anymore like that. and I used to build computers and, you know, just have a chat and, you know, learn how to do everything before people just ordered something from Dell. You know, people still bought computer parts and stuff. But like, I just always loved IT. And the crazy part was I used to love, my favorite TV show growing up was Star Trek, The Next Generation.
Ooh, okay. Dating yourself. All right.
I'm a Trekkie. I got it. definitely dating myself. Okay. In high school, it was Voyager. But what was really crazy was my favorite character was Data. Data was by far my favorite character. He was this humanoid android that had all of the universe's secrets and knowledge stuffed into him, but he really didn't know how to coordinate, you know, kind of communicate with people. He obviously had a hard time with emotion because he really had none.
Oh, his social skills were like second to bottom.
They were horrible. Yeah. And not to mention, you know, tried really hard to show emotion and at least pretend and show humans that he was capable of emotion and empathy, but really wasn't. Right. And it sounds a lot like ChatGPT. It sounds a lot like the language models that we have right now. Mm-hmm. So, you know, fast forward to today, you know, it's mind boggling because I've been building remote teams. That's what I did as an IT project manager. I built remote teams to do things. I own a virtual assistant staffing agency in the Philippines. I have over 150 virtual assistants. And how I came into AI was pure desperation. When ChatGPT came out in November 2022, I said, oh my gosh, why would someone even hire a VA, a human, when you can have an artificial intelligent virtual assistant for free? Right?
So I totally agree.
I had that kind of come to Jesus moment, and I basically flew to the Philippines in December of 2022. I created an AI division of the company, a task force, and said, guys, we got to figure this stuff out before it figures us out.
Right. Did you feel like the CEO of BlackBerry when like the iPhone came out?
Man, when the iPhone came out, BlackBerry thought they were still the better option.
Right.
I was
that was the downfall of the BlackBerry eventually, right? So yeah. So you're saying we ain't gonna be the BlackBerry.
It was way worse than the CEO of BlackBerry, because I was thinking, like, man, why would people know? You know what I felt like? I felt like I felt like the horse buggy driver when Henry Ford introduced the automobile. That's what I felt like.
So, I love it. Well, somebody at the conference that we were at in Austin said something like, AI is to the human race as language was. That's how transformational AI is going to be to the world and how it impacts the human life, period.
Yeah, and it's so primitive right now. It's almost like, you know, this discovery of AI is almost like inventing, you know, humans inventing the first tool, like the first hammer, you know,
right.
Like, think about all the things that were built because of the invention of the hammer, right? Invention of the nail, you know, like it's kind of mind boggling if you think about it, because it's so primitive right now, you know, and like I said, you know, when it comes to that comparison between the buggy driver and BlackBerry, whatever, like I was thinking as a human virtual assistant company, why would someone hire a human when they can hire an AI for free that never complains, never gets tired, never calls in sick to work, never rolls their eyes when you ask for a revision, doesn't poach your clients, can be trained way faster than a human, can absorb massively large amounts of data, and it's just nuts. Like, what AI can do is so crazy.
And yet we're still on the precipice.
Yeah, this is not even year two.
Right. And it's
we're not even in year two yet.
Scratching the surface. So all right. So you had this task force. What did you discover in these last couple of years then? Now you're in year two of this.
So when we did the powwow with the team, I discovered three things. Number one, AI gave my human virtual assistants superpowers that they didn't have before. For example, my Filipino VAs, like, you can tell the difference between an American English versus a Filipino English. You can just tell every time you call up Comcast or whatever and you got to pay your bill, you know, like you're going to talk to a call center in the Philippines and you can tell, you know, like even today I had to call up and cancel some tickets for a flight coming up. Mm-hmm. And I totally knew right away that person was a Filipino call center agent, you know, because I was canceling a ticket for my wife, and she immediately said, well, you want me to cancel this ticket for Mom Anna? That's my wife's name, Anna. I said, Mom Anna. That's a totally Filipino. So, but I never in the past would have my Filipino VAs do massive amounts of content for me because I wanted it to be in very good American English. So social media posts, email newsletters, email marketing, landing pages. I mean, think about all the product descriptions for e-com businesses and things like that. Like now, you can use AI to do that. And what I found is the best way to get leverage out of my own human virtual assistants is to create AI models, basically, that are already pre-trained, what we call AI personas, that are already pre-trained AI on how to do things. And then the VA is just the operator that says, hey, I need you to do this. I need you to write a social media post about this. And that AI is already trained to do so. Mm-hmm. So that's number one. It's become the superpower. Number two is that people still don't want to do anything.
No. All right. Oh, no. No, what was the statistic that said like only, I want to say a ridiculously low percentage of businesses are even looking at AI, not to say even using it, but not even looking at it yet.
November 2023, not that long ago, the U.S. Census came out that showed only 3.8% of businesses in America use AI. 3.8%.
Isn't that crazy?
So,
and then like one out of five of you looked at it.
And you opened up with the topic for the day. Okay. That was number three. See, I'm glad how you came into that. Okay. The first thing that I learned was that it now augmented humans to do more. Number two is that humans still didn't want to do anything and they would rather pay for another human to use AI for them. Which brings me to number three. I made the most money profit I've ever made as a consultant last year. I did $282,000 as my first year as an AI consultant.
Nice.
Teaching people how to use AI in their business.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
That's a mind-blowing statistic. And think about this. 3.8% of businesses use AI.
Mm-hmm.
Business Insider just got done publishing an article that says 90%, over 90% of all potential employers right now are searching for someone who knows how to use AI and ChatGPT.
Isn't that crazy?
So let's think about this disparity gap between the businesses that are using AI, 3.8%, and the businesses that want to use, which is what, 96.4%, 2%. My math is off, I think. That means that there is a massive opportunity here to actually help come into companies and show them how to use AI. That's the opportunity. Amazing? That's the biggest opportunity of our lifetime, dude. It's like, you know, they talked about the gold rush. You know this one. Everyone knows this. Who made all the money in the gold rush?
People who sold the pickaxes and the buckets and the
shovels
and the shovels
and the sifters, right?
All that stuff. Like, yep.
The people that sold the tools because it funded their dreams. Well, what do people want right now? They want to use AI. That's the dream. Can AI do this stuff in my business? Yes, it can. What are we doing? We're selling the tools. The tools are the AI, the knowledge of how to use AI. We have a massive opportunity right now, right in front of us.
Oh, it's huge. We're putting together a masterclass on how to utilize AI to basically do your entire year's worth of social media without losing your own voice and spending less than 5 days to get a whole year's worth done for you.
That's wild.
It's amazing. Like, it's,
and by the way, businesses will pay a lot of money for that.
I hope so. Can you do it for yourself?
People can pay a lot of money for that.
Yeah.
And you know, like, how much are people paying for social media managers on the team? You know, $4,000, $5,000, $6,000 a month for some salaried employee who only works 8 hours a day and probably, you know, spends an hour of that sitting on the toilet.
and they're not, I mean, and it's amazing because we're just talking about marketing. There's ways AI is impacting other service-based businesses out there, right? And I think that it's going to be those innovators in those different industries. I mean, you know, when you think about just like home service businesses, right? Like AI, along with things like drones and whatnot, can do a lot of work for these people and actually serve their clientele in a way they never dreamed, right? Like you can have, I just moved and I want somebody to mow my lawn. And so I had to call three people. And each of them had to send somebody out here to come and look at the lawn and that whole survey it, all that good stuff. Instead of, I bet you in less than 6 months, one of these companies could figure out how to use create a GPT that could go to Google Maps, find my lot number, identify how much lawn I had, because they're just doing a mathematical equation when they come and look at it. It's like, oh, it looks like it's about a quarter, 3/4 of an acre, and there's about this much percentage of the lawn, blah, blah, blah. The ChatGPT can do it just like that, right? So if they had that built in, it's like, okay, I'm going to pay you, you're going to get my business faster. I'm going to pay you because you're using that AI, right? But what if the AI could then look at your lawn for you, and then it says, hey, by the way, you need more sodium, or you need more whatever in whatever ... right? Like, they could use AI, get paid to use AI for you to get me the information I need about my lawn.
Totally.
Right.
I just got done seeing it. You know, have you ever seen TikTok Shop? You seen that?
So I have ADHD, and TikTok is the devil. So
yeah, it's horrible. But TikTok Shop just came out, and now you can sell other people's products. So now everybody's doing ads for people that are selling on TikTok. And I like watching the ads, because as a marketer, I like to see what's working, right? What's getting attention.
Sure.
But I was thinking about my very first like entrepreneurial job that I ever did was when I was it was summertime and I was in high school. And I was a huge swimmer. I was on the water polo team. I did swimming. And you know what we'd always do? Pool service. We would clean your pool, check your chemicals, whatever else not. I saw an advertisement for a robot that's less than $300 that you literally plop into your pool and it automatically cleans everything.
Oh, isn't that amazing?
And I'm just like, wow. You know, battery operated, doesn't have to plug into anything. You just drop in your pool, it automatically cleans everything.
Oh, isn't that amazing?
Like, right? Like, we're that at this amazing. Crazy age where, and not to mention, if you have an existing service-based business and you're adding an AI element to your business, it's going to increase the value of your business. It's 100%. Going to increase the value of your business if you're looking to ever exit your company, if you have some sort of an AI tool to it. One of my friends, Molly Mahoney, I love one of the things that she's trademarked called AIify. It's so funny. You know, like if you can AIify this, you know, what your programs are, is if you're a course creator and you have some sort of an AI tool that does actually part of the work for your students to get them better results. You know, I truly believe that right now we can use AI to get more results faster, solve bigger problems, and obviously get paid more. And that's what's exciting to me. And not just as a marketer, but just like right now, I'm actually working with a university out of Florida who has asked me to come in. I'm actually flying out to Vegas tomorrow to shoot the content for it. And I'm going to be having a little credentialed program. It's going to be a super cheap course just for the students. I think there's 700,000 students. To where they can just stick that to the resume that shows them, here's a basic course that goes over different ways that you can use AI for companies that they can stick on there to give them added value to what they're doing right now. They can stick that on their resume and say, look, hey, those 90% of companies are looking for someone who has experience in AI. Here's my stamp of approval saying that I actually know how to do these basic things in AI that are valuable to any business.
I love it. A common friend of ours, Julie McCoy, says, you know, AI optimized, right?
Yeah.
And I think that when people understand how to use AI well, it breaks the barrier. Ever hear the Venn diagram, good, fast, cheap?
And you have to pick two.
Yeah. And you have to pick two. You can just pick two. I think that people always try to figure out how they can do good, fast, and cheap. And one of the things you just said, just a couple minutes ago, is that you can pay more, right? People, I always tell people, half of the clients that I bring on are like not paying and charging enough, right? Yeah. And I hope that now that people go, well, it doesn't take long to get it done, that they don't try to break that Venn diagram and say, well, I can get it good because I'm leveraging time through AI, so it's fast, so I can be cheap. And one of the things I want to tell the audience is like, don't discount your ability to get out of AI what you get, because it's what you put in that dictates what you get out. Because it's
There's an age old story, Michael, about the mechanic that was hired to get the Titanic to actually go and start. Do you hear about that one?
I haven't actually heard this one. So
you probably have. I just laid it out for you in a way that you're like, oh, really? they were having a hard time. Imagine spending all this time building this giant ship and the motor just wasn't turning on. it just wasn't turning over. They had a problem. They had their engineers go all out trying to figure it out. They did assessments. They figured it out. They tried different fuel. They tried different ports. And is it getting enough oxygen? What's going on? I don't know what's happening. Now, mind you, if you remember how long ago the Titanic was, it was quite some time ago. There was a mechanic that everybody knew is infamous. And he says, I'll fix it for you. I'll fix it for you fast. But before I do, you will have to give me $10,000.
Which was a lot of money back then.
They said, dang, $10,000. That's a lot of money back then. And you know what he does? They said, okay, they're desperate. They got to get this ship moving. They're desperate. They'll pay anything to get it moving. They paid him the $10,000. He walks in. He takes a look. He grabs a wrench. And you know what he does? He smacks the engine. And that thing starts. And, of course, people are like, what the heck? Right? Why? I don't understand. I don't get it. And he goes, you know what? I got that thing started for you. Record time. Doesn't matter how I fixed it. I did it. He was able to get it going. And see, that's the thing that people don't understand is the amount of time and experience that he had to know exactly where to hit that engine to get it going. He knew. He looked at the engine. He knew exactly what was going on, right? All you had to do was hit it. Even though it was the simplest solution and it took very little time, it was solving the most massively horrible and hard problem for them. And see, that's the thing. People will pay for you to fix big problems. People will pay to fix big problems. And here's what I love about AI. AI allows you to fix really big problems really fast. Okay. But you have to have the knowledge. And a lot of times what you said, Michael, is very interesting because a lot of times people don't have a lot of value in their own experience and knowledge. And that's scary, right? Now, that should be something that we all work on as one of those they call limiting beliefs where we say, it really wasn't that valuable. But it was. Because they couldn't figure it out themselves, right?